I just about to graduate from UCLA, and I heard that one of my heroes, my jazz heroes in town, Charlie Parker III, as he was known, and he was appearing at a place called the Tiffany Club down on West 8th Avenue, 8th Street in Los Angeles. And I went there with my camera and got in on a Friday night performance. And on the bandstand was a young trumpet player named Chet Baker. And but I didn't know who he was at the time. And anyway, I was there, and I got permission to photograph my hero, Charlie Parker, because he was like, to me, he was like, there's Louis Armstrong, and the next person that was important in jazz is Charlie Parker, as far as changing the face of music and the sound of music. And so we, you know, a wonderful time. We met my friends and I met Bird, and very jovial, wonderful man when he felt good. And he played brilliantly. And the big surprise was to see a young guy named Chet Baker playing, because he was white, the only white guy on the bandstand. And he played beautifully, very simple and pure. And anyway, the show ended around 2 in the morning, and musicians from all around town wanted to come in and see Bird, who was the hero. So they would let him in and close the club down outside, but actually, I guess they couldn't serve drinks, but Los Angeles rules. But, so he went on, and they went on and had you know, like a jam session with all these different guys saying, I want to play with Bird, can I play with Bird? It was a big moment in our life. Of course, I loved it all because I loved the music and I could get some interesting pictures. Come 5 in the morning, we found ourselves out on the street in front of the club Saturday morning, and Bird said, I want something to eat, I need some breakfast. So I said, well, I've got my dad's car, just get in the car, we'll find something. And my friends and I piled in the car. And I remember putting my cameras in the back seat, and Bird said, okay, where can I put my horn? And I opened the trunk of the car, and he said, well, you don't put your camera in the trunk of the car. Why do you want me to put my horn, my axe in your trunk of the car? I remember that was my first put down, which was good. So we ended up keeping him on our laps in the car. And we drove around, couldn't find any place to go. So I felt very magnanimous and said, well, come to my folks' house up in La Cañada, which is in Pasadena, and they'll wait for the weekend, we'll cook you some breakfast. And he said, solid, which is the term he used to walk in. And we went up to my house, and it's a very pretty upper middle class house. And we went in and we cooked him breakfast, and there was about 4 or 5 kids friends with me, and all big Bird fans, and we fed him a huge, huge breakfast, and then he sat down in a big, easy chair, and we sat on his foot. He was a booty, had a big stomach, and gained quite a bit of weight, because he'd been just out of Camarillo State Hospital. I mean, he was taking a cure for narcotics abuse, and we sat around his feet, and he was like a big Buddha, and we just loved all of his stories. He loved to gossip about other musicians and tell stories about songs and situations. And wonderful, wonderful guy. And very, very bright. Not very well educated. That always appeals to me, people with those kind of personalities. Because he would say, he would use words that there was no such word. I guess you call them neologisms. He would invent words. And you knew exactly what he meant immediately, complete communication. And I think that's a fascinating thing about certain people. And Charlie Parker really knew how to do that. So he kept us rolling. And then later on, it was summertime, so we all went swimming and in the nude. And the picture that got away, the picture I took that I wish I had, it was stolen or it was lost in my flight years later. Was a picture of Bird standing on the diving board, totally naked, with his saxophone and his top belly. And it was just a great moment in jazz, I thought. Anyway, I don't have that picture. I wish I did. Anyway, we completed the weekend, and late Sunday afternoon, he said he had to get back to his hotel because he had a show that night. So we drove him back to his hotel, lots of hugs and goodbyes, and, you know, we're going to see you again. And the next morning, I got up early, went to class at UCLA, and came home that afternoon. I saw my folks' car was there, and I rushed in the house, and my mother was in the kitchen, and she was busy doing her house things and opening her mail and all, because they'd been away. And I said, guess who we had as a house guest this weekend? And she said, who, dear? Sort of half listening to me. And I said, the world's greatest jazz musician, Charlie Parker. And she said, oh, that's nice, dear. Did you get him something to eat? And just went on, you know, with this thing. And one downer to the whole thing, my father overheard, and he said, who was here? And I said, Charlie Parker. And this, remember, this is 1951. Times were different. And he said, Charlie Parker, isn't he a Negro? And I said, yeah. And he said, my God, what will the neighbors think? And we all went, oh, Daddy, you know, who cares about that? But anyway, it was a bit of a downer at the time, and I'm afraid that's the way times were.